Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. One of the most encouraging, most challenging, most well-known and held on to verses in the whole of Scripture. And it's one that has a sweeping promise in it. And you may well yourselves have held on to this. God is working out purposes for good in this, in these circumstances of my life, though I can't quite see how. You may have held on to it. I have. God works for good. That's what he does. And that doesn't mean that all things that happen in this life are good. We know that's not true. But God is always good in the midst of it. And if you are ever thoughtful about offering this verse to somebody who is going through suffering, be careful. Be careful. Because to be told that he's working out purposes for good, when all that you feel is a broken heart and a messed up life and that things are just so far from good, it's a hard one to be given, though it might appear to be encouraging. It's delicate like that. And people who are brokenhearted or going through very difficult times might be best to hold on to another truth in this very same passage, which is in verse 39, you are loved. Nothing can separate you from his love, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation. Nothing that happens to you, that has happened, is happening, or ever will happen, can separate you from that love. So sometimes we take the risk and we offer people these scriptures, hoping that they might be good for them. And Paul took a risk when he said these things to the people in Rome at the time that he was writing to, because they were facing persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and the sword. These things are all named in the passage that you heard. And by the way, whilst with them, let's remember that every single one of the things named was experienced also by Jesus. So when Paul says, you're never separated from the love of Jesus, we are in companionship with him. Whatever we are facing, he's faced it. So that would be very encouraging for the people then and for now. And Paul was speaking from a place of understanding suffering himself. He had just come out of prison. He was free at the moment, but he would be back in prison again before too long. And so he was knowing dark times. And it must have looked to many people and felt to many people as though the rulers, the powers, and everything else in all creation were having it their own way, and that God may have lost control or lost his purposes being worked out for good. So let's be with this. It's delicate. It is delicate. And I take a risk in speaking of it today because I don't know what's happening in your lives. I don't know which of us are experiencing things that are hard and unresolved and challenging and confusing, bemusing and downright hard to bear. So let's be careful, let's be tender with one another. And let's be with that Jesus, the King, the one who brings the kingdom into our lives and enables it to grow there, is not an earthly king, and the kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. So there is mystery here, and we're not supposed to be looking for things that are necessarily obvious. We're looking at the deeper depths and layers of things, which is why Jesus chooses parables to tell things about the kingdom. It's to get us thinking, oh, it's like this. Oh, it's a bit like that. Oh, it's a mustard seed. A mustard seed? Do you know how small that is? It is a speck. The kingdom is like a mustard seed. It is so small that you can barely see it. And if you drop it, you'll never find it. But if you plant it, it could grow big into a tree. A mustard tree or a mustard plant. And so this is the kingdom. It is tiny. Sometimes you can't see it and you don't know how it's growing, but it is. And it's like yeast. When you put it into flour, it affects everything. It transforms the whole loaf from a flat one to a tall one, a wide one, a one that everyone can share and enjoy. That's what the kingdom is like when it's amongst us. And it's like treasure. Now, back in the day of there not being banks, people would bury their coins or their treasure in fields. It was not uncommon to do that. And so when Jesus talks about the man who found treasure in a field, everybody would have thought, oh yes, I know about that. I know someone who buried their treasure. I did that with mine. They'd all been with that. When the man found treasure in the field, he bought the field because he wanted that treasure. And I really am with how sometimes when we discover treasure, we're best giving all that we have for it. And yeah, searching sometimes is what we have to do. All these parables may speak to us, and if they speak to you, please let them find a home in your heart today. Me, I am with just one of them. And I'm with this one of them, it's about the pearl, because I've got a new theological take on it. And it's another theologian who I heard that said it, and I thought, oh yes, I so like that. I'm going to have that myself. That's going to be my theology. And searching for the pearl, the merchant looking for fine pearls and finding the most precious one that he'd ever, ever come across. I thought to myself, have I got a pearl I could show you that's a bit like that? And I thought, no, my pearls are small, such as they are, probably not even real. However, I have got this to show you. It's a giant diamond. You don't believe me, do you? No, you don't. Right, too. This is the best I could find to help me hold in my hand the mystery of this parable, which I now think I understand, is not about us looking for treasure, fine pearls, diamonds, the kingdom of heaven and its mysteries. This is Jesus. He is the merchant. He is the one who searches and doesn't stop searching and is always, like the good shepherd after the lost sheep, always looking for you and for me, and thinks of us like the precious, precious pearl that is worth giving everything for. And the reason why I've now come to sit with this theology is because we know that Jesus gave everything. Just a year after speaking this parable, he died for love. And that gospel narrative, the one that speaks of his dying for love, for you, for me, and rising to heaven for us and taking us with him there, and being with us here on earth to work out the purposes of his kingdom in the here and now, even though we don't understand it, even though it's hard to see where he is and what he's doing. He is. He's always at work, and he's at work for love. And for love, he gave everything. So I am thoughtful. God is working out his purposes for good in all things. And every time you notice one of those good things, make much of it, speak of it, share it with others. So here's one of the latest things that happened in our family life. You know that Simon's mum died recently, and it was her funeral last Tuesday. And so we're in recovery, and we're really still in this deep time. And you know what God did? Months and months ago, he enabled Simon to sign up for 8 days of silence at the Jesuit Spirituality Centre in St. Bino's in North Wales. And he didn't know, but God did know, that the first day of that silence in his company, the company of the Holy One, would be the day after his mother's funeral. See, God is working out these things. And every time something happens like that, I think, there you are. There you are, God. There you are, Jesus. And you are not ever stopping working out these purposes for good in small things and in big things and things that are solved and things that are not yet solved. Search for him if you haven't yet found that treasure of his presence in your life. If you have, give him everything. You can't lose. Dig up the field of your heart and find buried there this relationship with the Holy One that will be the beauty and the meaning and the purpose of your life. Know that he's searching for you. Even when you're not searching for him, he's always searching for you because he thinks you're like this. You are the brightest, shiniest pearl, and he's got his eye on you, and he doesn't give up. And so, knowing Jesus is the chance of a lifetime to enter into the kingdom, and you can't be in a better place. The price is high. It calls for everything we've got. However, the price was high for him, and he gave everything that he'd got. So, and he had more than we've got. Came from heaven and gave it up for us. These mysteries, I encourage you to dwell with them. And if he's saying to you today, will you do something about this? Will you take a step over the line into properly belonging in my kingdom? Or if he's saying, will you share with other people every time something happens where I'm at work in your life? Will you share that so that people will know that the kingdom is at work? And will you just keep trusting me about the things that are not yet solved, the hopes and the dreams that you have that are still to be realized? What is it that's catching you, I wonder? And as you are thoughtful about it, as you enter and come to the holy place, the table today, and share communion, my prayer is that the kingdom enters your heart more deeply and with more of the transforming presence of the Holy One, perhaps, than has been experienced yet. Let's pray. Yeah, Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his willingness to come to this earth and try his utmost and give his utmost for us so that we might understand and enter into his kingdom and to relationship with him. We pray that as we live this, you will work it deep into our souls, deep into our lives, and in the lives of everyone we come across. May it sprinkle some blessing and some of your presence and your love. Amen.